June, coming at you live. Well, not really from Chicago.
Well, it is Chicago.
Yeah, but it's not live.
It's slightly pre-recorded.
It's Memorex. And speaking of Memorex, we were going to talk about
the
album.
I like looking through. Well, I'm getting to that age where the new stuff doesn't sound that good anymore.
Uh-huh.
I've become that music guy. But I've been kind of listening to old albums again, and I've been trying to focus in on which albums or which artists kind of changed my perspective on music.
Okay.
And I'll start with something here. Album, two albums. Actually, there's probably like a few, two albums really kind of changed at least my teenage years, which were the 90s.
Yeah.
And that was Pearl Jam's 10. And Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger.
Wow.
Both for different reasons. I think for Pearl Jam, it was definitely, when you put 10 on, it has that kind of weird music intro that is kind of like, it sounds like random sounds and shakers and percussion.
Right.
And then it goes into Once, and then you hear Eddie Vedder's voice for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing you'd ever heard of until that point. You know, now Eddie Vedder's are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
And every, pseudo alternative artist is has Eddie Vedder's voice. You know, I mean, the most common, I think, comparison would be Scott Stapp or whatever from Creed.
Sure.
And the other band was Soundgarden.
Uh-huh.
Bad Motorfinger was the first album I picked up from them.
Okay.
And when you hear Lusty Cage opening up for the first time with those kind of weird syncopated lifts, and then you hear Chris Cornell's voice on the other end of the spectrum, who can go high and has a much sleekier, louder, range.
Both were very distinctive.
And I think a lot of the, and to a lesser degree for me, the other two bands would be the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Nirvana.
Yeah.
And when I heard Nirvana for the first time, it was very different. And I didn't understand the song at first. It's like, what the?
Smells Like Teen
Spirit. Yeah, Smells Like Teen Spirit. What's the song about?
Right.
But then there's that catchiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is coming from a kid who wasn't like into the Pixies or anything. Like, I wasn't exposed to like that kind of music at that point.
Sure.
So for me, grunge was very new. I never saw any of the influences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never heard of Temple of the Dog or any of the Seattle bands.
You'd heard of Led Zeppelin, though, right?
Yeah, but I'd never actually listened to Led Zeppelin. I still am not like a huge, and that's the thing. I don't have the same kind of pseudo, that kind of classic training, I guess. In music, I don't
classic rock.
The classic rock. I don't have any of that history. I mean, the first bands I listened to in a rock way were the 80s bands. I mean, my sister's friends were listening to Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and Alice Cooper. So before I got into grunge, it was those guys.
Sure.
And then before that, I was very much into whatever my sister listened to, which was a lot of 80s kind of pop, but more British pop. So it'd be, like Rick Astley.
Right.
Or it'd be, Duran Duran and people of that kind of, the teenagers in England listened to back in the
Euro sound.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't really like alternative. I mean, she was straight up pop and she was super into R&B.
Okay.
I'll Be Sure, New Edition, American R&B rather than, but she wasn't like the Smiths or the Cure or anything.
Right.
So, it wasn't until I was a teenager and got into kind of these other grungy bands.
Mm-hmm.
That things kind of changed, but
yeah. Well, grunge was definitely a big influence over me. Nirvana really opened my eyes, and as did Pearl Jam. But I think that, you know, if I were to point to a couple of albums that really changed the way I thought of music, it would be the Violent Femmes' first album and Nine Inch Nails' Broken.
Broken is a great album.
Broken is an amazing album. And, you know, I'd kind of gotten into Pretty Hate Machine, but with Broken, it was so much more aggressive and so much faster and louder and angrier. And it got me thinking about other ways music could be made.
It brought the electronic slant to it.
Yeah, well, and the industrial sound was something that actually was created here in Chicago, and
Wax
I really didn't know.
Records,
yeah,
amongst other great labels of the time.
Exactly, and Nine Inch Nails, it was a very accessible version of that.
Yeah,
but I started going down that path and really got into it for a while, and then with Violent Femmes, it was really, you know, what I learned from them was just that you could do a whole lot with very little.
They were super. If I describe them, I'd say quirky would be the first thing
very
that comes
quirky,
to mind,
very
but not in
down.
A not in a silly way.
Right.
Kind of quirky in a you can write about other things and kind of tell narratives or songs in different ways rather than just like introverted introspection. You know?
Yeah. So. No, they were definitely talking about their feelings, but it was in a very outward. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how I feel. This is how you know you should know this. Kind of way, but they also, you know, they got their sound from playing on the street, where you couldn't have an entire drum set, and you didn't, you know, you only had the acoustic, acoustic instruments that you could carry around. So, you know, that really influenced their style, and it was neat. It was so very different from everything else that was out there that it really kind of opened my eyes to what music could be. So.
Were there any albums that you discovered way later, way past its, you know, its relevancy, that you wish you were around for when it first
hit? Oh, man. Tom Waits' entire oeuvre up until, like, Bone Machine. And even, I mean, Bone Machine's actually the last, the Tom Waits album that I picked up latest. Like, I actually got it as a birthday gift from a friend just this past year. I had always been curious about it. Actually, him and Frank Zappa, was another, you know, really experimental, very, very different sound. My dad actually had an album. It was a greatest hits album of the Mothers of Invention.
Oh, wow.
It was Frank Zappa's, you know, original band. And I loved the hell out of that thing. But never really moved beyond it until much later. So, like, in college, I found, you know, I started finally picking up some Frank Zappa and really getting into it. Mm-hmm. But Tom Waits, I wish I had been, you know, kind of around when all of that hit.
Well, the nice thing, I think, about Tom Waits is that he's still around.
He's still relevant. Although, you know, and I say this as a big fan, his voice is pretty shot at this point.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Bob Dylan. You know, Dylan's got... Dylan kind of blew his voice out and then came around, came back around on the other side, and he's almost got a voice again.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom's not doing too hot voice-wise, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring up Dylan and Waits. I mean, the one period of time, I don't know if I'd necessarily want to be around kind of that. The scene was... I mean, we're talking about American hardcore.
Yeah.
We're talking about Black Flag, you know, SOA, DOA. I mean, a lot of those, the Minutemen, a lot of that kind of California, D.C.,
sure,
all over the place kind of hardcore. And I mean, Black Flag, Damaged is one of my other favorite albums of all time. And I'm a fan of Rollins ever since, you know. And but it's one of those times where I'm like, oh... And I think that time had a shelf life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a much more tumultuous time. I mean, that was when Reagan came in office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting to kind of think about the context of their music at that time. Right. I mean, Dylan kind of went through that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's kind of, his career has reflected the changing times.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it went in sort of the opposite direction of the prevailing culture. You know, when he got into Christian rock. And,
yeah.
You know, when he electrified for the first time.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know.
From being a folk,
right.
You know, singer-songwriter.
Yeah. He likes throwing people for a loop.
Which is good. It keeps him relevant.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. Find out who, you know, which bands are, you know, the most important for you and who influenced your taste or took you in a different direction with music. You know, let's hear from you in the comments. I think we're going to talk about the weekend's events now.
Yes, we are.
We don't have a ton, but there are some good stuff. One that I've got for tonight is the Second Hand. It's a local independent. What do they call themselves? A broadsheet. It's a little independent publication. Comes out occasionally. This is their 28th issue, and they're having a shotgun wedding at Ronnie's, which is at 2103 North California, tonight. It's a shotgun wedding. They're going to actually have some sort of wedding-type deal. I don't know what exactly.
There's a wedding band.
There is a wedding band, and there's a bridal shower supposedly afterwards that will involve $2 cans of PBR. It's $6 to get in, 21 and over, and that's pretty much it.
So we're going
out to tonight.
Also tonight is the opening of Mapping, Cartographies of Learning,
mm-hmm.
and that's at the CSV Galley.
C33. Yeah.
At Columbia College, downtown. But it's essentially a multimedia event of installations and artists. That it's basically 9 Chicago public schools that have had their students, everything from kindergarten to high school, come up with maps. And they're curated and conceived by professional artists and faculty.
Cool.
So it's kind of a taking what a kid has done, executing it by a professional, I guess, and then seeing the results. So that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, sounds neat.
And cool. That's from 5 to 7.
5 to 7, awesome.
5 to 7.
So on Friday, it's our big our GB get-together.
This one's a little different.
Yeah, we are doing a couple different things tonight, or tomorrow night, rather. We're going to be going down to artist Mike Genovese's studio space in the Pedway underneath the Chicago Cultural Center.
That's interesting.
You can either get in through the Cultural Center or go down the Pedway stairs for the metro station at Randolph. And kind of loop back around to by the Cultural Center's entrance. We're going to be there from 5 to 7, checking out his studio, learning a little bit more about what he does. And then from there, we're going to head over to Faye's Gallery, which is at 673 North Milwaukee, from 8 to 11, where we're going to have... we're going to be checking out a show called It's Pop, It's Art, in which Mike Genovese is... showing some stuff, some art. It's mostly screen prints, I guess. And in addition, there is going to be free wine, courtesy of Black Swan Wines. It's Australian stuff, so I imagine Shiraz and who knows what else. DJ Lapple Pie Tunes, our own laureate Apple, is going to be spinning. And there's going to be limited edition prints from the show. There's going to be a raffle. The only... catch, it's all free. Obviously, it's 21 and over for that portion. The only catch is we really need you to RSVP. So go to the Gaper's Block and, well, you're here already, I imagine.
Yes.
And go click on that the banner for the monthly get-together and click on that RSVP here link so that we can get you counted.
Do it.
Do you have anything else for Friday?
Yes, We're kicking off the Taste of Chicago.
Right.
You know, we're clogging up the streets with lots of people, lots of music, and lots of food.
Yeah.
For the next 7 days, I guess.
More than that.
Eight,
it's like
nine, 10 days.
It goes at least 2 weekends.
They keep making it bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
The usual hoopla and brouhaha, get your tickets and stubs and buy some food.
Right.
But the I think what's interesting about tonight's about Friday's opening is that Chaka Khan and Angie Stone are performing at the Petrillo music show. So at 5:30. So if you're, you know, there after work, I'd go check out Chaka Khan.
She feels for you. She thinks she loves you. Cool. Well, one last thing. Seanimals, our good friend Seanimal, his plush form doll is going to be released at Roto-Fuji tonight, which is at 1953 West Chicago Ave. Plush form is basically a DIY plush doll. It's a totally blank, kind of a, not a gessoed canvas, but it's like a acrylic and marker, etc. Ready. So you can start drawing on it and kind of create your own little
character.
That's
pretty cool. We have some of our more infamous Chicago street artists.
Yep.
Booker Youngblut will be there.
Blut.
And Mr. Jim Liu of Veggie Something will also have a plushie.
Right.
So it'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to a Roto-Fuji thing, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It's from 6 to 9. And the first 50 people in the door will get a goodie bag of some sort.
You might even get a plushie. I don't know. Maybe a mini version.
Could be. So go check that out if you get a chance. And then swing over to our thing.
Yeah. On Saturday, the Chicago Soy Dairy, the makers of vegan Temptation ice cream.
Okay.
And they started making cheese, a vegan cheese that melts really well. That's you can find both of those things at Whole Foods. The cheese isn't on the market yet, but there is a vegan pizza that they cook with the cheese.
Nice.
And they're going to be having a free vegan grill out and cookout. And
nice.
I think
ice cream social.
It's
okay.
At Humboldt Park, and you know, you can come. You will have to buy food, but otherwise it's free.
Right. So,
and it starts at 1 p.m., and it's going to be at the First Baseball Diamond, which is at North and California. So.
Cool. Excellent. And there's a dance party tonight at Around the Coyote. Local dance collective Live Animals hosts the performance-infused social event. It's at 1935 and a half West North Avenue. It's $15, gets you in the door, and includes refreshments. Starts at 8. If you're a student and you've got an ID, it's only $12. There's also going to be a photo booth, which will be fun. I'd like to see what that is.
Apparently, it's called the Move Booth.
The Move Booth?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't know whether it's going to shake or.
I don't know. Or maybe you're supposed to show off your dance moves.
Maybe. The Move Booth.
Anyway, so that's Saturday night. Got anything for Sunday?
It's kind of slim. Taste of Chicago is still in town, obviously.
Yeah. And the Short Film
Brigade. The Short Film Brigade is continuing another night of films.
They're at the Hideout that night, and they've actually also got stuff on, they've got shows on Thursday and Friday.
Exactly.
So check it out. You've got three opportunities this month.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, that's pretty much it for us.
Yep, July 4th is just around the corner.
Yeah.
So
think about that. See what kind of stuff you want to do for that. I hope you've made it over to Indiana to pick up your illegal fireworks. It'll be cheaper next week, but you may not be able to find what you're looking for. So, have a good weekend.